Hello everyone and welcome back to Mound Talk with Sioux City Explorers Manager Steve Montgomery. Mound Talk is a weekly program that gives you, the fans, the opportunity to ask the Sioux City Manager questions about the Explorers, baseball or sports in general, or just seek Steve's wisdom about life events that are going on. In this week's episode, Steve explains why he signed another arm and didn't come up with a position player. He tells us where Connor Ryan sits in the hierarchy of intelligence in the Explorers organization. And what does the skipper see as good, bad, and ugly in what's going on these days? Let's find out on Mound Talk. Well, let's welcome back Manager Steve Montgomery. Steve, do you have team updates for us?
Yeah, we signed a left-handed pitcher. It's been a long time since we signed somebody. So, left-handed pitcher, shocker that it's an arm. But he's out of San Jose State. Andrew Mitchell is the kid's name. To kind of compare him up, I saw video of him. Unique kind of story. Was drafted in the 8th round of last year's draft, and a non-throwing injury was discovered during his physical. And so he rehabbed that all the way till January or February, and then they just released him. So he actually got drafted in the 8th round, but never threw a pitch for the organization. So a rookie, I never think you can have enough rookies, especially in this league. You got to have rookies next to their name that contribute. So we're pretty excited about that. And I'm going to remind people a lot like of a Patrick Schuster type, real low slotted, kind of a sweeping breaking ball. So, you know, we're excited to see what he can do.
Well, that's a good lead-in because we'll start with fan questions. Bill would like to know, you said you needed position players, but you are out signing more arms. What's going on?
Yeah, I have, like I said, I said it last time, I have a list, and I want to be fair to the people that I sign, and I don't want to, let's say, sign somebody, and then all of a sudden we don't play, and then I release them in the offseason. I don't feel like that's fair and without seeing them. So I do have my eyeballs on people, but we'll figure it out.
We have a couple from Jeff. The first is Mongo. Who do you see going first in the Major League Baseball draft?
The first baseman from Arizona State. I think his name's like Turtlelock, something like that. It's something along those lines. I think he'll be first. You got a kid by the name of Gonzalez. That's pretty good, but I believe the kid from Arizona State will be the number one pick in the draft. I think I got a good friend of mine that's in the Kansas City Royals organization, and they picked fourth, and they're kind of eyeballing a few different people. So just talking to some MLB guys, I guess this guy from Arizona State has really separated himself as the best hitter in the country.
Jeff also says, did you see that Luke Little kid hit 105 miles per hour? What do you think is the glass ceiling for speed?
Yeah, man, that kid's a freak. And it's left-handed, and he's 6'8", 240. You look at his junior college numbers, which when he hit 105, obviously, that got my ears perked up. And so I looked at his junior college numbers, 36 innings pitched, minimal hits, 36 walks, 70 strikeouts. So, he has a little bit of control problems. So it's all about harnessing that, kinetic chain that he is developing because when you're talking about pitching, everyone thinks, oh, what a great arm. Not a great arm. It's great feet. Great hips, great quads, great core, and then it transfers. That's the kinetic chain. It works from the ground up. So his kinetic chain is really, really good. And if you watch the arm action, it transfers into the arm action. But, you're looking at that kid being, I was thinking, gosh, at 105, this kid's got to be in a top five pick. He's not because of the inconsistency. He's more of a $2 million project than he is of coming in and in a couple years helping an organization out at a major league level. You're gonna have to teach this guy some control. And if you watch that video, he was still, it's 105 and it's not straight. There was only one pitch in that video that he got on top of and stayed down and through and dotted it, and that was at 102. If he could just perfect that, where he stayed on top, not taking something off the ball, that's not what I'm looking for. That's hard for a pitcher to do. But just stay on top and drive the ball downhill. He loses a little bit of wrist. His wrist angle gets on the side of the ball sometimes. So I'm sure that's what he's been working on, just watching him throw, is trying to get those fingers behind the baseball and stay on top at the same time.
Graham says, why do baseball players coming out of college take longer to reach the majors in comparison to football players who are starting in the NFL the next season?
That's called, because the NCAA football is the minor leagues of football. I mean, let's call it what it is. And they don't have a minor league system. And plus, in the United States, football is the only sport in the entire world that actually plays football the way we do. So you have, you know, you don't see, with the exception of punters, really anybody coming out of Europe that plays in the NFL, unless it's a punter or a kicker, something like that. You know, we're the only sport that does that. And college baseball is kind of like the pre-minor leagues to minor league baseball, and then you got to work through a system. When you're drafted in the NFL, there's no minor leagues. You've already played in the minor leagues, and that's called NCAA football.
A couple from Trevor. The first is, who you got in the big Darlington 400 this weekend?
I'm gonna go with Kyle Busch. You know, he's been running real good. Also, Denny Hamlin has been running real good. But you know, you can't really take these E simulators because really nothing goes wrong. You know what I mean? Like you don't run over a piece of metal on a simulator. You know, there's all kinds of factors, but I'm going to go with either Bush or Hamlin this weekend.
Trevor also says, by the way, did you hear that some dumbass called in a bomb threat to the racetrack? Shouldn't they just lay the guy on the track and let him get run over for 400 laps?
I did not hear about that, but yeah, I mean, like we said, Rob, you know, offline, or we'll call it off the show when you and I talk. This situation that we're in as a country, you're seeing, you know, you have 50% of the population that is like on the fence. They don't know what to do. 25%, they're hardcore. They want to get back to work. And you got 25% that are afraid to just even come out of their house. So, there's a lot of different views on this, and I don't know what the right way is or the wrong way. You know, I think I'm kind of in that 50%. Like, I'm gonna adhere to what, you know, our leaders kind of provide for us. And but at some point we have to open up the economy, or they're just gonna have to keep writing stimulus bills. And I don't think our country wants that.
Dale would like to know, without Brady, where do you see the Patriots finishing this season?
I think they'll be battling for the wild card. I don't see them, even though they're in the weakest division in all of football with the Dolphins and and all that, I don't see them when I think Buffalo takes the AFC East. And I think they are gonna finish like 9-7, 10-6, something like that. You know, Bill will find a way to at least make him competitive. I mean, listen, you're starting the year out 4-0 because you're playing the Dolphins and the Jets. So, realistically, you're a leg up on your entire AFC conference because you have pretty much four bye weeks.
Chuck would like to know, he says, Mongo, on your Facebook account, why does it still list you with the Red Hawks?
Oh, because I don't use my Facebook account for anything other than my game apps. I get like free stuff for it. That's the only reason I have a Facebook account. I don't talk to people on Facebook. I don't do anything like that. I use it purely because if you look at the picture, my son's like 2 years old in it. So I don't use it. I use it to get like free stuff through the little apps and games I play.
And he would like to know, he says, you're the third smartest guy in the organization, so where does Connor sit?
After talking to him about, I mean, he really took a nosedive. I mean, you know, he's probably near the bottom when I talk to him about, like, some the political views and stuff and all that stuff. So, he is definitely taking a little bit of a nosedive down. I would rank him, and I don't know who this is from, but to say I'm the third smartest, you're way off. I'm got to be one or two. probably two. You know what? I'll probably go three. You're probably right. I mean, you know, John with his business decisions, and then Matt, and then there's probably me, and then Boyd, and, that only leaves Connor left, so I guess Connor's in the rear.
We have a couple from Lisa. The first is, isn't it scorching hot in a big beard like that during the summer?
If anybody would see my beard right now, it's the biggest I've ever had. Since I had to stay at home quarantine, I said I would not shave until I got onto a baseball field, and this is the first time I've ever grown anything on my neck. So normally I shave it to my jawline, but today this time I decided to go a little bit with the neck, and it has just filled out. And if something were to happen and we didn't play this year, I'm gonna look like Duck Dynasty, and that's not gonna be a good look for me. It's pretty thick right now. I mean, this is the thickest I've ever in my life had a beard, easily. And, you know, people in Sioux City saw me in 2018 where I had a beard from March till August. But this beard right now is way thicker.
She would also like to know, what does your wife think of your beard?
Yeah. She don't like it too much. That's, you know, she's just like, kind of like, you know, it's to the point now, you've been married so long, it's like, whatever, you know. She doesn't like it when it, she likes just a nice, neatly trimmed goatee kind of thing. And, you know, that's what I had when I met her. And, you know, that's what she kind of got accustomed to. So this is kind of over the top where, I mean, there's a lot of hair. So, you know, it just is what it is. But, it's not her favorite.
Junior would like to know, how are you feeling about your daughter getting close to dating age?
Yeah, so let's not talk about that. She's already, you know, they have the Snapchat, they have, you know, all of that, and it's like, it's not good. She's already had she already has some, like, little crushes and liking boys and stuff like that, and I'm just like, you know, you don't need to be liking anybody. You know, go to school, get good grades, come home, and like your dad. That's about it. I mean, that's what your life needs to consist of. So, you know, but she's getting to that age, you know, and I understand it. But, not going to be good for that first boy that walks in the Montgomery household, I can tell you that.
We have a couple from Amanda. The first is, you were finally home with your wife for Mother's Day, so what special thing did you do for her?
Well, we just, my kids wanted to put together a bucket for her of, like, things she used, you know, lotions, makeup. My wife has always had this little thing of Kleenexes, so they went and bought three little packs of Kleenexes. So it's just a little special gift for her, and that's what we did. And then we went over to my mother-in-law's and had Mother's Day dinner with her mom and celebrated that, and we gave all the presents and stuff there. So it was a good time, good thing. And, you know, you don't get to spend Mother's Day at home all that often. So I'm just hoping that I don't get to spend Father's Day home, you know, this next time. So, you know, hopefully we're playing by then.
Amanda also asks, she says, you talk a lot about how your dad has influenced you. So tell us a great story about your mom.
Oh, my mom. My mom was a very, very hardworking mother. She worked at General Motors for 36 years. She was a lady who was an authoritative kind of kind of figure. You know, my dad, I could really get away with stuff. My mom, like, my mom would let me get away. And then when my mom snapped, boy, it was not good. There was going to be hell to pay. And, you know, I'll give you a funny story where I was, you know, my mom was married prior to, meeting my dad, and so was my dad. So both of them, we came from split houses. They get married, they have me, and I have, my mom's side of the family has, two children, my dad's side has one. So we used to, you know, my brother was 16 and my sister on my mom's side was 12, and then my dad's daughter would have been around my other sister's age. Well, we were out front playing Indian ball, and I don't know if anybody knows what Indian ball is. You throw the bat up, you hit the ball as far as you can, you lay the bat down and you throw it in. If they hit the bat, they get the hit. So we're out there playing and everything. So I decided I want to play real baseball. And so I hit a line drive off my sister's kneecap, right? Well, I thought that was great. You know, I thought it was funny. My sister didn't think it was funny. So she came in, and she's like, I quit. I am not playing with you. You hit the ball too hard. And I get mad, right? And I'm like 7, 8 years old. And so I'm like, Mom, you know, I go in complaining, Mom, Sheila's not playing, you know, and my mom's like, get back outside, you know what I mean? Go play with the neighbor kids or whatever. And I'm like, I was so mad that she wasn't playing. So I came out, and there was her friend was there too. I came out on the front porch, and I said, you guys are a bunch of, and I screamed it. And I meant to say like something else, but you know, the bad word with an F and ends with an F, and in the middle is CK, so you can imagine what that word is, that came out. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I know I was in trouble with my mom when I hear Stephen R. And I hear, Stephen R., get your little butt in here. I'm like, oh boy, I go tearing off in the neighborhood, right? So the thing, here she comes around the house, get over here. She literally made me eat 2 teaspoons of dish soap. And I had to eat it. And let me tell you, if anybody's ever had dish soap, they know what happens when it comes out. Not a good sight. So, I had, you know, my mom was very authoritative, and, you know, she made me eat 2 teaspoons of dish soap.
And we're going to end this week with a new segment we're going to try out here, because there's lots of good stuff going on in the world, lots of kind of crazy stuff, and Steve's always got great opinions. So, Steve, let's do a good, bad, and ugly of what's going on in the world these days. What's good, what's bad, and what's ugly?
Okay. What's good in the world right now is, you know, some states are reopening, and we're not seeing a huge spike. That's a great thing. I think that can lead to other people in other states making decisions that allow people to get back to norm. But, you know, Georgia is kind of leading that charge right now. We haven't seen a huge spike, so that's good. Bad in the world, you know, we still have people that are suffering from this. Our economy hasn't caught up. You know, this bill that Nancy Pelosi is trying to pass, that's bad. You know, with all the things she's trying to put in there and everything. I think right now we just need to focus, on the American people. Forget the Planned Parenthood and the arts and the history and everything. Let's focus on the American people. Those are the people that are suffering. Let's get something passed. And the ugly is this country destroying a 4-star general. I find that very atrocious. You know, Michael Flynn, here's a guy who gave everything so that we could do our freedoms and have our freedoms, and fought for 30-some years in the whatever field he was in, Marines, Army, Navy, I'm not sure. But he's a 4-star general. He did things the right way, and for us just to take that away, get him file bankruptcy, all for what? Because there was nothing there. And I have been watching this, and it's just ugly. And I think, you know, some people are going to go down for it. And it's going to be an ugly, you know, in our kids' kids, I think, will be learning about this. You know, we're learning about World War One, World War Two right now in my son's world history class, and I've actually gotten real involved in it, and, you know, the decisions Hitler made, and if, you know, if Hitler hadn't made those decisions, who knows what kind of world we'd be living in right now, because, you know, the two decisions he made really cost them. But, you know, I think people are going to be learning about this when it's all said and done. And, you know, that's kind of what's enthralled the world. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly about this situation that we're going through, and it's just unprecedented.
That's an awesome good, bad, and ugly. Steve, thanks for joining us this week.
All right, thanks for having me, Rob.
We want to thank Manager Steve Montgomery for joining us on Mound Talk this week. If you have your own questions you'd like to ask the Sioux City Explorers Manager, please send them to us at asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. That's asksteve@minorleaguesportsreport.com. Please have your questions to us by Wednesday evening so we can give the skipper a little time to review them before we record the show. I'm Rob Pannier, the managing editor of the Minor League Sports Report, and we'll see you next time on Mound Talk.